Welcome to the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast, where we guide you through the psychology of high performance, expand your mindset, and strengthen your resilience. Today, we're bringing you episode 57, and this is based on a great book titled The Way of the Champion, Pain, Persistence, and the Path Forward, and it's written by lacrosse legend Paul Rabil. And this book's pretty neat because it's actually broken down into three sections, which Rabil calls books. And the first book is titled Amateur. The second book is titled Professional. And the third book is Beyond the Game. And so I'm going to read you an excerpt from book two, Professional. And it's really actually the title page. And then I think there's a lot of content in here that we can glean for us in the fire service, for us in emergency services, or for us in whatever you're approaching, whether that's business or life. Quote from Stephen Pressfield, "My life can be divided into two parts, before turning pro and after." And Stephen Pressfield is another pretty successful author. He's written some really, really cool books that I would highly encourage you to check out those as well. And some of those will be linked in the show notes. So continuing here, "You played for the love of the game. You enjoyed the freedom of being an amateur. You worked hard and cultivated range. You stuck with it. And then you turn pro. Now you go all in. You have to profess yourself to your calling. You have to invest more of your time, more of your resources. To get an edge, you have to do things your competition isn't willing to do. You have to be comfortable with others not understanding why you do what you do as much as you do it. You have to say no to cool opportunities. Stay in when everyone else is going out. And get up early when everyone else is sleeping in. You might have to change the way you prepare for and recover from a game. You have to put in more time and make more sacrifices than you ever have. It's not for everyone, but this is the reality. This is what it takes to be great. This is what it takes to be a professional." So I think that that simple paragraph right there, there's just so much correlation to us in emergency services. And that's why I love that bridge between sports psychology, the approach to sports, the professionalism of sports, and the mindset of how do we approach things professionally that sports can teach us so well. And, you know, shows like Hard Knocks or all these behind the scenes type of shows, we get to see kind of the effort and the intention and the grind and the focus that these professional athletes have. And that's something that I've been talking about for quite a while is how do we incorporate those same sorts of concepts into emergency services? How do we take a look at what we do? How do we break down our processes? How do we look at how we train and practice and prepare? How do we analyze, did our training, our practice, our preparation actually make a difference? How can we do that better? How can we gain that little teeny edge? And with the advent of helmet cams and social media and neighbors taking cell phone videos and dash cams and battalion chief rigs and all of those different technology pieces that are easily accessible now, can we use those things to get better and to approach what we do in a professional way? You don't also have to just have game film, essentially, is what I would call that. Is, you know, if we show up on a structure fire and we have a neighbor that's taken video of that as we pull up, you have pre-arrival video of your call, you have deployment video of that first hose line getting stretched, you have video of how the engineer parked and spotted the apparatus, you have video what the weather conditions were and the fences that were in the way, and all of those things. That's game film video. But we can recreate some of that stuff too really, really easily with that supercomputer that's currently in your pocket or maybe that you're listening to this podcast on right now. You can set up a little teeny tripod during a training evolution and take a look at that. And that's something that I've used with really positive effect with teaching recruits, especially in the ventilation module, where you tie a bunch of skills together, like rig to roof deployment. So how do we come off the apparatus? How do we get the stuff that we need from here to there? How do we have the ground game? All of those sorts of things, especially if we're doing vertical ventilation repetitions, and I can record those things from a high point read and then show the recruits like, hey, here's an actual breakdown. I want you to self-assess what this looks like. And then where are some opportunities for you to get better? And it always connects a lot of good dots for them. They talk about, oh, I got to get faster on masking up. Cool, let's work on mask up with gloves on. Oh, I can be more efficient in how I carry the saws and the ladders and my sounding tool from the rig to the roof. A lot of wasted movements here, on and on and on. And you can really professionalize the operation and make this a normal thing. You can easily do that with your online company training as well. So set up a little tripod with your cell phone, and not so you can post it on the gram and get a bunch of likes and tell people how great you are, but to professionalize the operation on simple basic skills like rig to door deployments. How can we get more efficient? What happens when we put cars in the way? What happens when we put pallet walls or barriers or things like that, make that stretch a little bit tougher? All of those sorts of things that can recreate an environment like deployment of hose lines in an apartment building at 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody's parked in the parking lot. So there's a couple different ways that we can professionalize how we do this sort of thing. But how do we go pro in the fire service specifically? How do we cross-correlate this paragraph right here, this intro section to the book two, professional? And so I think, you know, when we look at this, a lot of times we feel like we're professionals just because we're getting paid to do the job. And so, yeah, technically you are a professional that you're getting paid to do the job, but are you approaching it with a professional mindset? Are you approaching your nutrition and your tactical fitness, your relevant fitness, with a professional mindset that's relevant to what your job is? Are you approaching your rest and recovery and what sort of content you're putting in your brain? Because if you put good stuff in your brain, you get good stuff out. But if you're just consuming negative content, you're watching the news all the time, you're looking at whatever the algorithm is feeding you on social media, then that's what you're going to get out as well. And so what we focus on is what we see. And so if we focus on the negatives and all the stuff that's not going right and how you're not winning these battles and how they didn't accept that proposal and all of these sorts of things, well, then you're going to see that negativity there. But if we say, hey, here's the amount of work and effort that I put into that, it's not all wasted effort. It's just the answer is not yet versus no. That's a different way for us to professionalize organizational change, positive organizational change, self-change. So how do we define the normal and then work towards elite? So what does the normal mean for us to be professionals? Does it just mean that you show up and you put your gear on the rig and you receive a paycheck? Is that what's normal? Or what's normal for you based on your job at hand? What should that baseline standard be? And most of us, we have organizational values and things that call that out based on operational directives or SOPs or whatever your department calls those things. Those are the normal things that are defined. Hey, this is the baseline standard of how we're going to operate. But a professional doesn't just act like that, you know, that is the upper echelon because they're meeting the baseline standard. So how do we professionalize that? And how do we work towards being elite? So what about at home? Are you taking the professional mindset in that environment? Are you showing up every day and having those positive interactions with your family members and those around you that love and care about you? How about for your self-care? Are you taking a professional mindset towards how you're taking care of yourself and not staying up till 2-3 in the morning watching Netflix or Instagram or YouTube? How are you taking that professional mindset off work, off the job, and also for yourself? So I think there's some pretty good things here that we can just start to introspect a little bit, take some time to assess, still in the first part of the year here in 2025, and say, all right, how do I take a professional mindset, not in the effort to just stack more stuff on top of a giant pile? I know that you probably have a massive pile. For some of us, that pile has actually tipped over. And for some of us, that pile has stacked up, tipped over, and now has spontaneously combusted. So don't just add more, but how can we take a professional mindset and trim the fat, focus on the things that really make a difference, focus on the things that are healthy, that are creating positive environments for yourself, for those around you professionally, and for those around you personally? I think it's worth the daily look at a little bit of introspection. Where are we going? How are you setting goals? What's next? Where do we go from here? How do we make it better? So thanks for spending your valuable time with us here at the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast. Please rate, review, and follow the show. Please consider sharing this with those that you think might need to hear this message. And smash on that follow button on your favorite podcast player so you never miss one of these weekly Wednesday released episodes. And stay smart.